was merciful to me in that way. I mean, he's been merciful to me in a lot of ways. Salvation and such. But anyway, we sang a song. I'm going to enlist the help of my wife. And the song said that it came out and said that Jesus Christ is the bright morning star. And that really just made me think, well, if you would, please turn with me to Revelation 22 and go to verse 16. And this is something real, something off of the book of John. I'm going to get there in a minute. But if you would turn with me to Revelation 22, 16. And it's been a battle for me. I've got my own D-Day going on today. And I was asking the Lord be with me. Give me grace. And give me much grace. And we'll just see where he goes from there. So Revelation 22, 16. It says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Now, if you would, please turn with me to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. I'm going to go to verse 12. And this is just a little something that I learned the other day. And I couldn't shake it off my heart, so I'm going to be obedient to the Lord and let Him run away with this thing. And I'm going to show you Isaiah 14:12. Just bear with me here. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weakest the nations? You stand up stand up and open the NIV to Isaiah 14, verse 12, and tell me what it says.
It says, how you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn.
How's that?
You have been cast down to earth, you who once laid low the nations.
Lucifer's name was taken out of the Bible, and they gave Lucifer's name Jesus Christ.
Morning star.
That's right.
Yeah. Sound easier to read?
Huh?
Just easier to read.
Yeah. They have taken the name Lucifer and put Jesus Christ there.
The morning star. Do you realize the Freemasons teach that?
Sure do.
Yeah.
There's another thing that goes along with that. With these, the versions of what they're doing is they're taking anything that references Jesus Christ and they're putting the word one. Turn with me to John 1:14. Show me John. I just want to show you this. John 1:14. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amy, can I have you stand up and read that again? In John 1:14, in that. John 1:14. And I'm going to explain to you afterwards what it says.
Excuse me. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the One, capital O-N-E, and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Now that One with the capitals, capital O is never in your King James Bible at any given time. What they've done is they've taken that and capitalized it, saying that that represents Jesus. Now, what they've done is they've taken the name and they're trying to take Jesus Christ out of that. They're changing the dictionaries. You have to go back and you have to study their dictionaries and what it says. And they're trying to take anything that relates Jesus and Christ and so on and so forth. And they're trying to take that out there and they're replacing it with the One, capital O-N-E. And they're replacing it with the Christ. And they're replacing it with the Lord. And every place that is in, they're taking that out. Why? So that the Buddhists, so that the Muslims and all will be comfortable to read these.
The Iranians actually wait. The people who lead Iran today believe in the One.
The One.
They believe He's the Muslim that's coming. And it's a huge cult. They actually believe if they bring world instability and destabilize the world, that's why they want to bomb. They think the One will come.
So I just, you know, it's just a little something I've been learning this week, and I thank God, for, you know, they just teaching me.
Because what book you're getting it out of?
Gail Ripplinger, New Age Versions. It's really fascinating, I mean, what she goes into. I mean, she did a 6-year study just on verse by verse, word by word. And I'm telling you, man, you get in there and you just see the stuff and you understand that it's coming from the Luciferians. You know, it's coming from all these great, because they're trying to create a one world religion, they're trying to create everywhere. So in order for them to be able to do that, they have to take the words that are in the King James Bible and take them out of there and put in the New Age definitions so that everybody will accept it, or else they're not going to accept something that has Jesus Christ in it. Not every religion is going to ever accept Jesus Christ. So they're changing all the wordings and all that stuff. Why? So we can usher in that new world, that new age, and that new religion, so that everybody can read, you know, they call them Bibles, or I call them books, and that's what they're doing it for. And I know this. If my King James Bible took the name of Lucifer and was leaving it, then you know Lucifer's only in the Bible once.
Right.
Do you know Morningstar's only in the Bible once? Do you know they have eradicated that name, Lucifer? They have taken that name out. It's only used one time in the whole King James Bible. It's only used one time. They've taken that out in their versions. And that's in all the other versions. They've taken the name Lucifer out. Because what they're trying to do is they're trying to take the evil off of him. You know, I mean, you got to read. I can't remember. Blatsky or Blatsky is the guy's last name, and he's out there saying, you know, Jesus Christ and Lucifer are the same. That's what they're saying. That's right. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. And if people, you know what's happening? He says that people are being deceived. They're not catching on to stuff like that. Lucifer's name was there for a reason. I'll tell you now, Jesus Christ didn't get cast down from heaven.
Right.
He didn't. He's not the one that shook the nations like that. So anyway, there's going all this stuff. And so and I'm going to go into this. Isaiah 14. Lucifer says, I will 5 times. In Chicago, I told Pastor this. In Chicago, there's a town. That's their motto, I will. Their zip code is 60606. The NIV came from that town. It was hatched in that town in 1966. Yeah, that's coincidence, I guess.
Virginia Mollenkopf being the editor of the Old Testament.
That's right.
Who was a practicing lesbian.
I'm just telling you. We have to be careful. John, we're going to go back to John 1, verse by verse. I just thought I'd share that. It was interesting to me. I mean, it blew my mind. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there. Listen, I'm a babe. I'm gonna read something while you guys are turning to John 1. I'm gonna read something right here that the Lord gave me. Me and Pastor have been talking. Of course, I've been struggling and going through a lot of stuff, and it's my own stupidity. But I kind of found this interesting. In 1 Corinthians 3:1, it says, "I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal."
Yeah, that's right.
Paul's telling the same church that I can't speak to you spiritually, right? Not that you're too carnal.
That's right.
And I just said, oh, that blew me off my feet, because I said, man, that's me. Listen, if I've offended anybody in the last month or done something wrong or answered you, it's because I've been carnal. I've been living a carnal life. I have quenched the spirit. I have grieved God. That's the place that I'm at today. I took these verses and I went over them with my wife. I said, Amy, this is where I stand with God today.
Amen.
And God's been merciful unto me and has allowed me room for repentance and has got me back on track. Now, in the midst of all this, and I'm not bragging and, you know, pat myself on the back and such, but we do family time. We sit down and read the Bible at dinner. And in the midst of all this trouble, all this stuff that's going on, Autumn got saved. People go, oh, she's 7 years old. That's right. Jesus can save at any age that he wants. We're treating it as so. But you know what? Let Jesus Christ. Let her trust Jesus for her salvation. You know what she said to me? Out of her own mouth, and Amy listened to her. You know what she said to me? Dad, I thought I was saved 2 or 3 other times. But she goes, I know for sure I am this time.
Amen.
That was from her mouth. And you know what? I'm going to leave it at that. We're going to let Jesus Christ take care of that and teach her. You know what I taught her? Last night we were teaching at a campfire. We had a little campfire at our house. We had a very stressful day yesterday. I said, why don't we just go by the campfire and we'll read the Bible. And I taught her out of 1 John 5. Where it says, these things are written so that you know you can have eternal life. And I got, and I went through and I taught her that, and she got up and she gave me a hug. She said, thank you so much, Dad. I know I'm saved.
Amen.
Let her have that salvation. Thank God for it. John, I'm in the book of John. In the book of John. You know, God is all powerful. He's almighty. There's nothing he cannot do. We look and go, I don't know if that can happen to a 7-year-old girl. It sure can. We got to understand. He says come with childlike faith. We got to understand she's a child. She's coming to him with that faith. There's nothing stopping it. Now, you know, I don't teach my kids all this mumbo jumbo, Romans road, and all that easy believism garbage. You know how what I teach my kids? From the law. From the law. I sat down that night at the table. And that game, God went through the law. And you know what? She saw. She goes, oh my goodness, that is me. I said, then what are you doing? Well, she goes, I'm a lawbreaker. I'm breaking God's law. I said, well, let me sit down. Let me have a little conversation with you. And then we just had a little conversation. And you know what? I believe she came to repentance. I believe she got saved. I believe that.
Amen.
If not, then you know what? That's no problem. How many times did I go through it?
Yeah.
I finally got the right one. You know, it happened.
God will show you.
That's right. God will show you. So we'll just leave that alone with her, and I thank God for it anyway right now. That's in the midst of turmoil. That's in the midst of us being carnal. God still did something like that. You know why? We stayed faithful. Stayed faithful in his word. Stayed faithful in the church. Stayed faithful to what he wanted. And you know what? You stay doing what he wants you to do. He says, when you've done everything, and I'm going to paraphrase this with him for a minute because I don't know the whole...
That was good.
It's when you've done everything to stand, stand more. Stand even more, because you know what? There's times that it's going to be so hard, you're going to think, my goodness, I just got to let go of this rope. I can't do it anymore. And that's when God says, no, you got more to go. He knows how much we can handle. And you know what? In the midst of that, stay strong, Randy. Stay in the Word. Stay in church. Listen to what God's trying to tell you. That's your escape. That's your way out. And I thank God he gives us a way out. Don't try getting out your own way, because you'll fail every single time. John 1:11. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Could you please turn with me to Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7. It says, it came to his own, and his own received him not. And I just want to show you a few verses here that teaches us who the Jews are. The Jews are God's chosen people. There's no doubt about that. He said, came to his own. His own are the Jewish people. And I want to read Deuteronomy 7:6. It says, for thou art holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. Above some of the people. No, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Those Jewish people are God's chosen special people. Those people he came down and died for just as well. These are God's chosen people. Now I'm going to scoot over to Deuteronomy 14:2. Deuteronomy 14:2, and I believe Brother Morales hit this the other day. Peculiar's in the Bible four times, by the way. I think two of them, one of them is talking about the Gentiles and after salvation, and one is talking about here, about the Jewish people. I might be off one, but I'm pretty sure. Deuteronomy 14:2 says, thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. Unto the Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. Upon all the earth. Those are his people. You know what to say, strange or weird or you know, whatever. But you know, that's just how they are. Why? Because God chose them to be that way.
That's right.
That's what he chose them to be. And then you know what he's taking? He's taking the poor things and the wicked things in this world. And he saves them, like me, and sends me out. And sends me out. Why? For me, for a testimony of him. Now, I'm not going to get into the whole thing, but I just want to show you a few verses where the Jewish people are God's chosen people. They are his. Not only were they his in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. He came to them first in the New Testament, but they rejected him. Turn with me to Romans 1:16. We just seen in John 1:11 that they rejected him. Now go with me to Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16. All right. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also unto the Greek. So we know it came to the Jew first. Those are his chosen people. Those are his peculiar people. He's been doing that through all history. Read your Bible. Read the whole Old Testament. And he's done everything in his power to make it right with them. But they're the ones choosing not to make it right. So now what's he doing in the New Testament? He comes to them first. First and foremost, he comes for the Jews. That's what it said.
Right.
To the Jew first, then the Greeks, then everybody else. Why? They're his chosen people. He loves them. No matter what they've done to him, turned their back, and gods they served, and everything else, he still came for them first. Boy, what a God. Jesus was sent to the Jew first, but they rejected him. Please turn with me to Matthew 21. I want to reiterate on some things here. Matthew 21. Matthew 21. You know, and the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. And I believe that because, I mean, 3 weeks ago I stood here trying to go verse by verse and I couldn't do nothing. But being obedient to God, saying I'm not going to back down, Lord, he's been teaching me some things verse by verse and I enjoy it.
Amen. It's good.
I look forward to coming here at 1 o'clock because I know I'm going verse by verse through his word. If he can't teach me his word, I shouldn't be up here. If God can't teach me what needs to be taught, then I don't need to be up here. And I thank God for what he's doing. I just thank him for it. 21, Matthew 21, verses 42 through 44. Jesus saith unto them, did you ever read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, given to a nation, bringing forth fruits thereof. He's talking about the Gentiles. He's talking about taking it from the Jewish people and giving it to the Gentiles. And whosoever shall fall on the stone shall be broken, but whosoever shall fall, it will grind into power and the powder. And the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, and they perceived that he spake unto them. Now, verse 44. I should have stopped anywhere. Anyway, so it says, because of that, because of their rejection, because they rejected Jesus Christ, he came down to them first, and they rejected him. Now he says, I'm going to give it to another. He's going to open that door for the Gentiles to come in. Go with me to Romans. Let me show you what Romans 11. Go to Romans 11. I'll show you where we were put in, where we were allowed in here. Makes it clear. Paul teaches on this wonderful. Why? Because he is the teacher of the Gentiles. He's going to let us know how we end up getting into this thing. Because remember, Jesus came for the Jew first. Well, how did we get into this thing? Well, let me show you. Romans 11. Romans 11, verse 13 through 21. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh and might save some of them. He's talking about the Jewish people. He said they might get provoked. Why? Because he's going to see that God opened the door for the Gentiles to get saved now. And that's going to might provoke the Jewish people to get saved. That's what he said. It says, for the casting away of them be reconciling of the world, that he might receiving of them be, but the life from the dead. If the first fruit be holy, the lump is holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not thyself of the branches. But if thou boast, bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest in faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare thee not. So because of their unbelief, God grafted us in. He said, okay, because they don't want to believe, then I'm going to go to these Gentiles. These dogs, as it were called. We're going to go to the dogs. And you know what? Because of their unbelief, he says, but don't be high-minded. Oh, look, God don't want them anymore. Because if you cut them off, you surely will cut a Gentile off. He says, don't go out there and be high-minded because of their unbelief. You know what he wants? He still wants them to get saved. In part. Remember what Chris Morales preached on that? In part. They're not all blind. In part, they're blind. And that was good. I've never seen that before like that.
Yeah.
And when he said that, I said, yeah, he's right. He got that. And I thank God because you know what? To the Jew first. But since they didn't want to believe, now the door's been open for us. And I thank God for a way for us to be in. Could you imagine if we still want to be allowed in? Could you imagine where we'd be? I couldn't even imagine what my life would be if we were not ever allowed to be into it. He says, you know what? Them branches, they've been broken off. But didn't it say he cast them into the fire? That's it. I mean, it's no more for them. No, it can be. They're only part blind. But to us Gentiles, he says, count your blessings that you were let in. Because imagine when he came, if they did believe, where would we stand? I'm not sure where we would stand. It's not written in the Bible. I have no clue. It'd be a nice question to ask Jesus when we get up there. Where would we have stood if they did believe when you came down? But because of their unbelief, we were grafted in. Because of their unbelief. And I thank God for that. Thank God for grafting me in. I didn't deserve to be grafted in. All right, back to John. Boy, it's getting warm. It's going to be a hot one today. John 1. I'm going to go to verse 12. John 1, 12. But as many as received him, But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In verse 11, we see the Jews rejected him, but not all did. Well, how do I know that not all Jews rejected him? What's it say right there in verse 12? Verse 12 says, but as many as received him, he was just talking about the Jewish people. And if he was just talking about the Jewish people, then we see that he's referring to that in verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. Being a Jew does mean that you're God's chosen people for sure. But it does not mean that you will slide into eternity without Jesus Christ. You're not guaranteed heaven. You're not guaranteed anything just because you're a Jew. You need Jesus Christ just as well as anybody else.
Right. Yes, sir.
How do I know that? Let me reread verse 12. He's talking to a Jew. Now, verse 11 just said the Jews rejected him. Then he goes, but, still talking about the Jewish people, but as many received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. The Jewish people, some believed. Not all rejected Jesus Christ. How do I know some believed? Well, there's Paul, there's Matthew, there's John. I mean, we can keep going. They did not all reject Jesus Christ. Some did get saved. Those are the ones he's talking about in verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Do you know what that must be like for a Jewish person to believe on Jesus Christ's name? But some did. He just said they did. But some believed. And those who believed on Jesus Christ's name, they became his sons. He gave them the power to become their sons. The sons of God. He gave that Jewish person that. So let me see. It says, they won't slide into glory, but as many receive, they enter the same way the Gentile does. And that is, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, cometh unto the Father, but by me. John 14, 6. You know what? The Jewish person has to come through Jesus Christ just as well as the Gentile does. They will not reach the Father. They will not get to heaven. They will not get to glory without Jesus Christ. But, you know, verse 12, he said, but some believed.
Yeah.
And to those who believed, he gave them the power. I mean, if God had to give his own chosen people the power to become the sons, his sons, don't you think he would have to do that for a Gentile?
Amen.
Salvation doesn't better come believe. By our works.
Better believe it.
Salvation comes by the power of God.
Yeah.
That's where it comes by. It doesn't come by anything Dan Moore ever did, because God forbid, I'd still be lost born in hell. You can bring that to the bank and cash that check. I'd still be going to hell if it was by me. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. That's what the Bible says. It belongs unto God. And if he had to give that power to the Jewish people, surely he has to give that power to me. Because of their unbelief, I was grafted in. But not all. Not all. It says, they also believe on his name. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts 4, please. Acts 4. Acts 4. We're just talking about his chosen people. We're just going through, you know, and learn some things. Acts 4. Now I'm going to start in verse 10. Most of you probably can quote it, but. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded to then go out, then I got to get there myself. Be it known unto you that all the people of Israel, but that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by doeth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And he's talking to Jewish people standing there, seeing this guy. They're marveled that this guy was healed. And he's talking to them, and he's saying, you cannot be saved any other way. The way you're living, your Old Testament ways and all that, that's not going to get you in heaven. If you go back to verse 12, it says that some of them believed on his name. This is what they're preaching right here. That they have to believe on the name of Jesus Christ. There's no other name. And he's talking to Jewish people. He's telling them you have to believe on the name of the Son of God, on Jesus Christ, in order for you to get saved.
That's right.
Now, some of them said they believed Moses. You know what Jesus told them? If you believe Moses, you would believe me. So we see that right there. Right there. It's not about what they believe. It's about what they do. That's how they think they're getting in. And Jesus said no. No, the Bible says no. They're only getting in the same way we get in. That's how they're getting in. Though they're God's chosen special people, they still have to come in through Jesus Christ. They still have to come in through His gate. They have to come in His way. There is no compromise with God, even with His own chosen people. Let me ask you, that would make me scared if I wasn't a saved person. If God didn't compromise for His own chosen people, surely He's not going to do it for a Gentile. Surely He's not going to do it for a Gentile. There's one way in, and His name is Jesus Christ. There is no other way. No other way. Turn with me to John 3. John 3. Yeah, we're getting some Bible exercise today, and I love it.
Good stuff.
Yeah, John 3. And I'm just going to read 1 through 7. Here's a few examples. Now, you've got to understand, this is an example of how the Jew gets saved. This is how they get to the Father. Jesus is talking to a Jew who was a Pharisee and the ruler of the Jews. Most of you know the story, but you have to understand the point I'm trying to make. This is His chosen people, and He's telling the Jewish people how to get saved. How to get saved? 3:1-7. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. We see this guy standing there as a Jew. Jesus is sitting there telling. Now he's going to tell him some things here. He says, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. He is talking to a Jewish leader right there. And he's telling him, you guys think you're getting in by your words, you think you're getting in by your religion, and you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again. How do we get born again? By Jesus Christ. Why? Because those things that are born of the flesh are flesh. He makes it clear and plain as day. That which is born of the Spirit. When Dale Moore got born again, I got born again by the Spirit. I didn't get born again by me. I didn't get born again by my works. I didn't get born again by anything that I could have done or have done. Let me ask you this. If we could have get saved by our works, then why would Jesus Christ have to go up on that cross and suffer the way He did? That does not make sense to me. He would have died in vain. It would have been for naught. If man could work his way into eternity, if man could work his way into heaven, then we wouldn't need Jesus Christ. But you see, it cannot happen. It cannot happen. Now, you know, people, the Jews want to follow the law and so on and so forth. If they would just stop and think, Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law and prophets, but to fulfill them. He came down on earth to become those. That's what He fulfilled. He fulfilled every one of those. And you know what? All they have to do is accept Him and be born again. Be born again by water and the Spirit. I think the water is natural birth. Isn't that what that stands for, I think?
Yep.
And then the Spirit will be the Spirit of God. That's how you're born, the power of God. Remember, all those who believe, how do they become the sons of God? By the power of God. That's what he's saying here. How do you become born again? By the Spirit. By the Spirit. God. I could never reborn myself. Listen, salvation does not come by our hands. It doesn't come by our works and our ways. Salvation is strictly from God. For by grace are you saved, through faith. That not of yourselves. What not of myself? It's the gift. What's the gift? His faith. He gives saving faith. I have faith that Jesus wanted to save me, but I didn't have saving faith. Because if I had my own saving faith, then I wouldn't need Jesus Christ for faith. Or I wouldn't need Him for my salvation then. Because I would just believe in myself that I could save myself. But if He gives me the saving faith, then that faith comes from Him. Then salvation cometh from Him. Salvation is fully His. And the more you read the Bible, the more you study it, the more you understand it, it will never come from a single thing you do. He's just asking you to look at what He's trying to show you, and He'll take your hand, and He'll lead you by the hand, and He'll bring you through. He'll bring you through. What do you mean bring you through? He'll born me again. That's what He'll do. You know what happened to Dale Moore? I got born again. I got born again. And what happened? Let me just turn to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to close with this. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. I'm going to show you this. Right here. 1 Corinthians 3. I told you I've been carnal. I have fed you with the milk and not with meat. For hither you are not able to bear, neither were you able. For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, and are ye not carnal and walk as men? That right there is proof. Proof. Proof why I could not born myself again. You know why? I couldn't even drink the milk. I couldn't even eat the meat of what Jesus Christ has shown. And it had to come from Him. But you know what? People think that they can work their way to heaven. I know so many family members. And I pray for on a daily basis, please remove that money from them. Please remove that high tower. Please remove their religion. Please remove their works so that they can see that it's you, that you, that you that brings born again experience. It's not anything to do with us. And if they could just get that through their head, actually, if they could get that through their hearts, their mind, body, soul, if they could just see that, you know what? But everybody's too busy standing on them. I say this, God found me in the lowest part of my life. That King James Bible brought me up to His level. He's still bringing me up to His level. I've not accomplished that. But you look at me from just a couple years ago, you guys know me. What do you think done that for me? I'm going to tell you, salvation in the King James Bible has brought me up to His level. Those other versions are trying to bring God down to their level. Right. You don't believe me? Go ahead and look at the lifestyle. You ain't got to believe me. I'm just telling you right now, God wants to take you from where you are today and bring you up to His level. He will never come down to our level. He's not going to come down and bow down to you. He's done it one time. That's over with. Now he wants to bring you from your level to His level. We're not going to try to bring Him down to our level any longer. It happened once on the cross of Calvary. He died. He went down into hell, came back out, and it's victory forever. Victory forever. And never again will He ever. It's all taken care of. There's nothing else that can be done. The very Creator of heaven and earth, guess what He did? He died for the creation. Why? So that the creation can work theirself? No, they can't work theirself. You can't work it yourself. If you could work it yourself, then Jesus Christ would have never had to die. Let me ask you this. If you could work it yourself, then why would God have to give us laws? Going all the way back to the Garden of Eden. When God made the first sacrifice, why? Because He was covering their sin. We can't do it on our own. Is there anybody here who can honestly raise their hand and say, I've never broken one of God's laws? I've never broken one of His commandments. I can tell you this as myself. I've probably broken them. I can't even keep count how many times I've broken them. But our children, Caleb, Joshua, Autumn, and so on, how many times have they broken them in their young age?
Come on.
That's proof that there's a sin nature, sins that need to be taken care of. That's proof of it. And I'm done, Pastor.
Amen.